Sometimes I think we could just say amen and go home. But not today. I do have some announcements, and I'll do those at the close of service. I don't want to interrupt the attitude, the atmosphere right now. We're continuing our discussion on essential church today. And today's topic, in part of becoming an essential church, is going deep. Going deep. There are four things that we talked about. The first thing was to simplify. We got to get the structure right. The second thing is to deepen. We have to get the content right. Next week we'll be talking about expect. That means get our attitude right. And then multiply, get our action right. But today we're talking about deepen. What does it mean to deepen? And really it's about how much we want to desire the Word of God in our hearts and in our minds. And do we really have a desire to study and to learn and to apply those truths that we learn on a daily basis to our lives? That's what it means to go deep. And you don't get that just in the surface level study of Christianity or surface level study of the Bible. You've got to spend time and make an effort to uncover the deep biblical truths that are there and available for all of us. I was handed an article this week. It was in the Houston Chronicle, and it kind of talks a lot about what we're talking about here as far as essential church. Essential church means, we talked about the dropout rate. A lot of people just drop out of churches. They just quit going. And why do they drop out? The main reason is because church is just not essential to their lives. For whatever reason, other things have taken precedent. Other things have become more important. The time slot of church has been squeezed out of the schedule. And it's just not a necessary or essential part of their lives. And this article kind of hits on this a little bit. It says, when 6,000 churches close each year, 6,000 churches close their doors each year, and 35,000 churchgoers leave each day. And only 15% show growth over a year, or from year to year. What can American Christians do? It goes on to say, this is kind of advertising an event that James McDonald is leading in. He's an author and a pastor. And he says, it's time for Christians to realign preaching and worship to focus on God's glory and not themselves. Too many sermons today are about a different you. But this isn't about you. It's not even about a different you, McDonald says. It's about our God. And he says, and our church, but I would change that. I would challenge it to say, it's about our God and his church. Because the truth is, it's not my church and it's not your church. It's God's church. This article goes on to say that his key term, vertical church, refers to a full connection to God through passionate worship, biblical proclamation, fervent prayer, and effective outreach that flows into every avenue of compassion for those in need. My deepest passion is for a church to be a place where people can experience the presence of our living God while lifting high the name of Jesus. Now, we talked about that there's a lot of statistics involved, and I've gained a lot of these statistics from this book called Essential Church, thus the names of the sermons. And it says here that most churches are dwindling. Most denominations are not growing. The population in the United States is exploding, recently surpassing the 300 million mark. But church is losing ground. We are in a steep state of decline. The American church is dying. Conversions are declining in almost every denomination. Even in some of the more relatively healthy denominations, conversions to Christianity have stagnated. In our own denomination, the Southern Baptist Convention, which is one of the largest Protestant denominations in the world, baptisms have not increased in decades. Despite the growth of the nation, the Southern Baptist Convention is baptizing no more people today than it did in 1950. Turn in your Bibles to the book of James. James chapter 1, and I believe I have this passage on the screen too for you. But if you have the Word of God, let me encourage you to open it up and read it. Some of the pastors refer this to Versatron. We have Versatron for those that need it, but let me encourage you, if you have the Word of God in your hands, to open it up and look at it there in your own hand. James chapter 1, verse 22 and following, it says, "Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." Do not merely listen to the word, but do it. You see, Bible study, this book we call the Word of God, this Holy Bible, it's got valuable information in it. But you don't get the information unless you read it. And once you have the information, it requires a response. You have to do something with the information. It says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. But you don't get that unless you dive in and you go deep. The church that will retain members across all generations does not have the luxury of choosing what type of church it will be. We talked about different types of churches. Some churches will say that we are an encouraging church. We encourage people. We give them the idea and the hope that they can find a better you and that you can rely on yourself and that God has given you what you need and just to go out there and just be encouraged to tackle it and you have the strength within you. Well, then those things are, yes, they're true, but there's also more involved. Some churches say, well, we're an evangelistic church. We go out and we're reaching those people. We're reaching them and reaching them for Christ, and that's a great thing. But they don't have a discipleship program. Some churches say, we're a discipling church. We're the church that takes all those people that the other church reached. We take them in and we disciple them. Some churches may say, well, we're a fellowship church. We love to get together. The truth of the matter is, a healthy church is all of that. A healthy church is, an effective church is a reaching and a teaching church. That is the model of the New Testament church. Reaching and teaching. How many of you would agree that a skeleton is important? Yeah, it's important. We need them, right? Can't do without it. Why? Because it gives us our structure. Last week we talked about the structure. Simplicity, a simple structure, not real complex because it gets too complicated and too involved, but a simple structure. That's our structure. Well, today I want to talk to you about what I would consider the meat, the muscle, and the sinew. Without the muscular and circulatory systems, how useful is that skeleton? Can't move itself. It's just hanging on a... Maybe you were in a science class and you saw the skeleton hanging on the rack over there. That's all a skeleton can do, or just lay there in a box or whatever. Without the muscles and the heartbeat, that skeleton is not any good. Of course, the argument is also that all that without skin doesn't do you a whole lot of good either, because it doesn't stay together. It doesn't hold together. But the the inner workings of the body are important. They're critical to life. Without them, we just have dry bones. We must have both. We must have strong structure, and we must have a healthy life. We must also be relevant and doctrinally deep. You see, some churches say, well, we're relevant because we're right where people need, we're who we are so that we can reach people right where they are. And that's important to be relevant. That's why you have so many different types of churches, because they're relative or relevant to a certain group of people. Then you have some churches that say, well, we're doctrinally deep. We're preaching straight, you know, from the Bible. I hope that every church is preached straight from the Bible, but they're saying we're doctrinally deep, but they're completely irrelevant to their group they're trying to reach. You see, it takes both. We must be relevant and we must be doctrinally deep. We have to do both. Remember, what we're talking about is what we need to do to keep people in church. In order to do that, church must become essential in their lives. You know, most dropouts, church dropouts, when people drop out, they don't, they may stop going to church, but most of them don't stop going home to their families. Right? Some of them do. Some of them do. That's a deeper issue. Just because they may step out of church doesn't mean they stop going to school, right? Maybe somebody goes off to college and they stop going to church, even though there's probably a church close to where they're going to school. They don't stop going to school just because they stopped going to church. They don't leave their social networks just because they leave the church. Most church dropouts just drop out of church because church is not essential to their lives. We talked about why people leave church. I'm going to read the top 10 reasons to you one more time. At least one more time. Number one, I simply wanted to break from church. Just got tired of it. Just needed a break. Number two, I moved to college and stopped attending church. Number three, my work responsibilities prevented me from attending church. 23% said that. I moved too far away from the church to continue attending. Remember, we talked about how kind of a lame excuse that is, because probably wherever you move to, there's probably a church close. But 22% of the people interviewed said that. Another 22% said I became too busy, although I still wanted to attend. Or number six, I chose to spend more time with friends outside the church. 17% of the people said that. School responsibilities prevented me from attending. I wanted to make life decisions that were not accepted by the church. You know what that says? I stopped going to church because I felt bad every time I went in because of what I'd been doing. That's what it says. I mean, it's not what's printed, but that's really what it says. I wanted to make life decisions that were not accepted by the church. I became too convicted to go. Number nine. Family or home responsibilities prevented me from attending church. The truth is, family and home responsibilities should drive you to church, right? That's where you get that encouragement, where you get that power to make it through those situations. Number 10, I lost touch with my church-going friends. 11% of the people said, I lost touch with my church-going friends. I became so involved with other friends, they became more important in my life. And then the other number 10, it was a tie. Other activities or scheduling conflicts prevented me from attending church. Other things just became too important. The Bible tells us to study to show thyself approved, right? That's in 2 Timothy. And then also in Joshua 1:8, we read this. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. The Word of God is so important in our lives, folks. We need to spend time in the Word of God daily. Church should only be a supplement to a personal time of prayer and Bible study. And I believe that. Because let me tell you something. If you rely on this time once a week to get fed, you're going to starve. Even if you came back tonight and came back on Wednesday night and even on Monday night, try eating four times a week. You'll starve. Guess what? You will spiritually starve if you just rely on the church to feed you. You've got to pick up your own fork and knife and dive into the meatiness of God's Word. Because guess what? There's also dessert. There is. That's right. We should encourage each other to present ourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. You see that last part, and who correctly handles the word of truth. How do you know how to handle the word of truth if you don't even know the word of truth? Yeah. That's kind of important, don't you think? How do you instruct somebody how to do something that you've never done or never even read about? You can't do it, at least not effectively. I can give you instructions on lots of things. You're going to run into trouble if you try it, because my instructions are probably not going to be good, especially if I've never experienced it myself. It's important that we are able to handle the word of truth. It's important to have preaching. That's my responsibility. It's important for me to bring meatiness to you from the word of God. Not watered down, easy to hear, always make me feel good about myself kind of preaching. Now, we need encouragement from time to time. Yes, absolutely. Sometimes we need to stop and think and look at how special we are because God loves us. And He created us. Created us for His enjoyment and for fellowship with Him. And the Bible says we're the apple of His eye. And those are good things, and we need to talk about that. But there's also other stuff we need to talk about how our best righteousness is as filthy rags. Right? And how we're without the power of the Holy Spirit, we're doomed. Without salvation through Jesus Christ and Jesus only, there is no salvation. I mean, those are important things, right? We're going to talk about also some things that kind of hurt us, that step on our toes. Those are important. That's my responsibility. I commit to doing that, to bringing that stuff to you from the Word of God. But it's more than just what I can do. It's also important to be involved in other parts. Small group Bible studies. Sunday school we have right before the service is a part of that. Monday night, men's women's ministry is an important part of that. There are other opportunities we're going to be having. We'll talk about one in just a little while that we're going to be offering on Sunday evenings also. That's going to be an important part of that. Those are important, those Bible studies. Sunday night, y'all, if you haven't been here on Sunday night, it has a whole completely different feel to it, doesn't it? Sunday night worship service here has a whole completely different feel to it because it's more conversational. It's a small group with discussion. Wednesday evening is another opportunity. We sit around the table back there. We open up the scripture. We read a little bit. And then we talk about it and discuss it. And learn from each other and glean from the Word of God some deep biblical truths. Those times are important. Get involved in one or more of these. As well as your private time of study. And you'll see how church becomes essential to your life. You see, God does not expect you to stay the same. God says, I expect you to grow, being transformed more and more from glory to glory. It's a progression, and God expects that of us. He expects us to grow. How do we grow? We get nourishment. We exercise. We stay healthy. At Dolan Baptist Church, guess what? We must have expectations of each other also. But that's next week. We'll talk about that next Sunday. But let me ask you this. The Word of God. How essential is, and forget about church for a minute, how essential is the Word of God to your life? Church is important. I believe it needs to be essential. But church, apart from the Bible, is useless. The Bible is the central theme, the central piece of everything that we do as church. So if you're not familiar with this thing right here, you got to get familiar with it. How do you do that? You don't dust it off once a week and expect somebody to read it to you. You just can't do it. You've got to open it up. You've got to dig in. You've got to dive in. Go deep. Study. Read. Ask questions. It takes more than just a periodic perusing. That was a good word. I get bonus points for when I use big words, y'all. It takes more than a periodic perusing to gain the deep biblical knowledges of the truths of Scripture. So let me ask you a question. Today, are you willing to commit to going deeper in your relationship with Jesus Christ? You can't do that apart from going deeper in your study of His Word. So to commit to going deeper in your relationship means to commit to going deeper in study. Are you willing to do that? It takes time. Remember, we read several reasons why people stopped going to church, because other things became important. So the challenge to you is this important enough to create a time slot for it? Is this important enough to set us time aside daily to read it, to study it, to learn from it? And then supplement that with coming to church, where we can corporately talk about it, corporately discuss it, ask questions, talk about how God's blessing our life, talk about how the struggles we have. You know, to have that time is important. We do that here at church. To corporately gather together and sing songs of praise to our Father. That's important. The sacrifice of praise is important to God. It's a pleasing and a sweet aroma to His nostrils. We do that through church. Is church essential to your life? I'll tell you that church is essential to my life. Of course, you would expect that from the preacher, right? Is it essential to your life? Are you willing to arrange your schedules? Are you willing to set your priorities? Are you willing to make a commitment to say, church is important to me. It's so important that other stuff is going to have to set aside just for a little bit. Is it important enough that when I come, I've already been digging in. I've already been reading. I've already been diving deep. I've already been chewing. And I'm not come starving. I'm coming with a healthy appetite. I pray that's you today. I pray that as we go throughout the rest of this study, that God will speak to you and encourage you that church is important. Not just a good thing, or church is kind of recommended, but the church is essential to your life. If you're going to be a Christian, and if you're going to be an effective Christian, you see, because I love what the article said. It's not all about you. How many times have we heard that in the last 6 months? It's not all about you. If you're going to be an effective Christian, that means affecting lives around you. You got to be able to handle the word of truth. How do you know to do it? You got to read it. You got to go deep. We have to be involved in those studies that go deep to where we can learn. Learn from the Scripture, learn from one another. Are you willing to commit? It's a challenge to you. Maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, you know what? Church in general has just been kind of a social activity for me. But today, I'm willing to commit to having it be an essential part of my life.